Dixie beer is a sentimental favorite in New Orleans. It's the last of the city's original lineup of local beers and has been prominently featured in song and in the movies. Before there was a Superdome, before Interstate 10, before Prohibition, there was Dixie. And the brew is also savored outside the South. Next year, the Dixie Brewing Company hopes to celebrate its centennial if it can get up and running again. NPR's Peter Breslow reports.
Falstaff, Jack's, Lucky Lager, and Regal are long gone from the Louisiana brewing scene. Only Dixie remains.
Hometown, a good word that makes you think about a lot of good things. Good friends, good places, good things to eat, and good cold Dixie beer.
While Dixie has not always been considered the finest of beers, there is something to be said for legacy and longevity. The taste of regular Dixie has been described as a bit thin, kind of like Pabst Blue Ribbon or Schlitz. The label reading slow brewed probably holds more cachet with out-of-staters who consume more Dixie than the locals. New Orleanians may not drink all that much of the beer, but they've been depending on it for a long time. They love that it's there, and Dixie has tried to return the favor, even during Prohibition, says Kendra Bruno, who owns Dixie with her husband.
Dixie did not believe that Prohibition was a real thing or maybe applied to Dixie. Yeah. So when the feds came in, when Prohibition went, it was the largest beer raid and dump in the United States, probably. Yeah. But they were also one of the very first to have beer on the market again as soon as it was repealed. So. Yeah.
The Dixie Brewery is a hulking red brick behemoth with a couple of beer cans the size of water tanks strapped to the roof. The place harkens back to a time when New Orleans was more a city full of stevedores and sailors than tourists and students. The factory, just a mile or two from the French Quarter, is guarded by two weighty filigreed wrought iron gates with a big D in the middle of each.
But I'll tell you what, this building has been through plenty. Dixie's been through plenty. But we hope that this will be producing beer by its 100th birthday next Halloween.
That's Joe Bruno. He and Kendra bought Dixie back in 1985 as it was going bankrupt. The Gothic place looks to be designed by Dr. Frankenstein, a maze of pipes, high-pressure boilers, tanks and oversized gauges, hoses, belts, and compressors, engulfed by 20-foot-high walls, all peeling paint. Dixie's renowned huge cypress wooden tanks are the last of their kind, although brewers say with their wax lining they do nothing to improve the flavor of the beer. Still, they're part of the mystique and part of what convinced the Brunos to take over such a shaky enterprise, the kind of operation that would perhaps seem more attractive to a mobster.
Financially, it had a $2 million cash loss the year we bought it. So that raised a few eyebrows at ATF, Alcohol and Tobacco, and they said, here's a guy with his name ending in O, buying a brewery with a $2 million cash loss, and let's start looking for the laundry trucks. So they didn't find any laundry trucks, and I'll fast forward a little bit again for you and say after 18 years or so, we've got all medal winners.
Those medal winners are Dixie's high-end beers, Black and Voodoo, Crimson Voodoo, and Jazz Amber Light. They've got a deeper, more sophisticated taste than regular Dixie, and, starting a decade ago, helped the company compete with the growing popularity of microbreweries. Micros, by definition, produce less than 15,000 barrels a year. Prior to Katrina, Dixie had been churning out 45,000 to 50,000 barrels annually. Dixie is also competing against locally made Abita beer, now in its 20th year, and growing into a popular regional producer. But before Dixie could attract serious beer drinkers, it had to get past the notorious Bad Batch of 1975. That's when, under previous owners, some chemicals from new flooring somehow found their way into the water supply. Former Dixie brewmaster and director of brewing, Kevin Stewart, picks up the story.
And they used this water to brew with, and that water then got onto the beer, and that beer was very nasty tasting, and it happened right around the July 4 weekend. And apparently the brewmaster at the time didn't acknowledge the problem. It was brought to his attention, and they lit it out on the market, and it was a disaster.
Dixie has never quite returned to the pre-Bad Batch glory days of brewing 100,000 barrels a year. But according to the Brunos, by last August, things were looking pretty good.
Before the hurricane, we were on our way to recovery. It's been 20 years. We've settled all of the debts and removed liens, and we're about to, to be profitable.
But were you guys in the red all these years?
Probably.
So basically, yeah.
We've definitely had more beer than money. Yeah. Absolutely. Yeah.
Then Katrina hit.
Follow closely.
Do you need another light? I have one.
Okay,
let me...
The last barrels of Dixie were brewed the weekend before the storm. Today, the factory, which had 7 to 9 feet of water, is still in darkness, still smells of must, mold, and stale beer, and is still, to this day, being looted. On this morning, as we inch down a darkened stairwell, the Brunos are worried about interrupting someone stealing.
Here, they haven't finished sawing this. You see the thickness of this copper? They wanted to take this elbow and sell it.
This is not the desperate looting New Orleans saw immediately after Katrina. These guys are serious and industrial. They've set up shop here, building wooden ramps and bringing in wheelbarrows and ladders to cart away pipes and pieces of equipment. Joe Bruno reacts like someone has hurt his child.
Oh, they cut the manifold, Cab. I'm sick over the looting. Hurricane did its toll, but these looters are doing immeasurable damage. Really, it's immeasurable damage.
Although they've both reached retirement age, Joe and Kendra Bruno don't seem willing to let Dixie fade away. They are like your favorite aunt and uncle. He's a spry 72-year-old, originally from New Jersey, with a full head of white hair, thick, gold-framed glasses, and a look in his eye like he's letting you in on something. Kendra's a bit younger, from New Orleans, with a crinkly grin and a long, braided, gray and blonde ponytail bouncing down her back. She's responsible for coming up with Dixie's first dessert beer, White Moose, which they say tastes like white chocolate. The Brunos will celebrate their 44th wedding anniversary later this month and pride themselves on the decades their 30 to 40 employees, like brewmaster Kevin Stewart, have stuck with them, making beer in an old-fashioned, labor-intensive, hands-on style.
Our employees all hate this place, but they wind up having one hell of a love affair with it.
What's the hate? Trying to work, trying to produce beer in an old plant. It's very difficult sometimes with old equipment.
To survive, Dixie will have to modernize that old equipment and cut its staff in half. Joe Bruno estimates it will cost several million dollars before Dixie flows again. In the immediate term, the Brunos are negotiating with some regional brewers in other parts of the country to produce Dixie until they can get up and running. They'd also like to trade a bit on the place New Orleans has recently won in the hearts of the world by distributing more widely internationally. As we're saying our goodbyes in front of the building, Chris Soule, who worked as a brewer at Dixie until Katrina, pulls over in his car. He's doing construction now, but was wondering what was happening with the brewery, when it might reopen. Joe Bruno gives him a playful punch in the gut and a hug. As he heads through the gates to take his first tour of the place since the storm, Chris Soule looks over his shoulder and says, "I'm having dreams of brewing again." Peter Breslow, NPR News.
There's nothing more sudden than a Friday night dance. Nothing more sudden than a pretty girl's glance. Nothing more sudden than a good game of chance. And nothing more sudden than Dixie.
For a photo gallery of the Dixie plant and those who make the beer, come to NPR.org.
Now you can make the clear, smooth taste of Dixie part of your good times.
Nothing more southern than a Friday night dance, and nothing more southern than Dixie.